The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
And now, Barron's ranked top 100 independent advisors. It's time for Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us on this weekend. Both myself and my co-host, we are both financial advisors. We spend our Monday through Friday helping people like yourself plan their financial futures. And we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you've got advisors you're working with now, or you do things completely on your own, or you're maybe just getting restarted with your finances, we want you to consider this program another valuable source for information. So, a source for valuable information, I might say.
Yes. Biased information.
Yeah, our biases.
Yeah.
That's what you kind of want, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. You want biases.
You want opinions. There's tons of information
you
out
want
there.
The hope is you get informed opinions. That's the hope.
Quality opinions.
That's the hope.
Well, you'll get that here.
That's the hope.
Well, my promise.
You be the judge.
Not you.
You can't judge yourself. I guess
you can
judge yourself.
I'm pretty good at judging myself.
Are
a little
you?
Too harshly, actually.
All right. Well, it's only an hour show.
Relax. I don't actually have to be productive every moment of the day.
It's only an hour show. So
my dad will please love me if I just work a little harder. I'm watching my son right now. It's hilarious. My son.
He's 18?
He is. He'll be 18 next month. And he's a senior in high school. And he's applying, I think, 18 colleges, all this early admission stuff. He's written 20-some-odd essays.
Really?
Yes. And I've told him a couple of times, I'd like, hey, son, I hope you don't think you're doing this all for me, because I really don't care where you go to school.
What are you telling him that for? Why do you care why he's doing it?
What do you mean? Well, I don't want him to...
Why do you care why he's doing it?
What do you mean, why do I care why he's doing it?
He's trying to make you happy. Let him do it.
Well, no, I don't want him to do that to make me happy. That's my whole point.
Well.
Whatever it takes. Nice. I don't want him to end up in therapy when he's 35 and depressed at the job. Come on. You know, you're obviously joking.
Why doesn't he submit the same essay to every school?
Because a lot of them want unique essays. He's right.
Just change the title.
Essay.
Really? 20? Did you say 20?
20, like 24 essays. Some as small as 100 words, which isn't easy to write a 100-word essay. It's so small. I mean, it's barely an essay. It's like a paragraph, really. And some much longer, and he's doing all his work.
Wow. Where's he going to go to school?
I don't know. That's why he's applying to all these. I did tell him, though, the other day that I said... Because I've told them since my kids were little, I used a 529 plan the year that they were born, right? For my
kind
daughter
of like what
when
you
she was
preached to your client,
yes, yeah, absolutely,
and on the radio,
and
show.
I calculated how much would needed to be saved every year. I made sure the amount right amount of saved was when the markets took a downturn back in 2008. I calculated what was needed. I added some more during the downturn, and
they're funded.
I've let the kids know. Look. And if I didn't have the money, by the way, I'd say, look, don't take out a bunch of student loans. Go to junior college. I did that for a period of time. Nothing wrong with that route. But anyway, where am I going?
I forget.
I don't know. Sorry, I'm boring the listeners anyway with the story
about your son.
Oh, I did tell him that before I'm not going to write a check to just any school that I'd like to, when he gets accepted, we'll look down at the options.
Make sure it's the appropriate?
Yeah. Well, he says, like, which ones wouldn't you want to pay for, Dad? I said, well, I'm not going to, let's don't worry about that now. Let's just worry about, what you get in. Because there's a couple out there.
Just tell
particularly
him.
Some of the stuff going on in the universities right now. It's like, I want to send you in some of these, some craziness. Anyway, okay. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
I'm thinking, like, you sound like a really old guy.
I am an old guy. What do you expect me to do?
All right. Anyway.
Anyway, this is a financial program. We talk about a lot of different things financial, and one of which we do is take your phone calls regarding things in your financial life, something that you're maybe contemplating, wondering if you got the right kind of allocations with your investments, thinking you should take on more risk or take on less risk. You're concerned what might happen with your portfolio if interest rates continue to start to rise and continue to rise. Whatever the case may be, you're looking at does your living trust need to be something different? Do you have the right kind of beneficiaries set up on your IRAs or 401ks, or how do you do a stretch IRA? All those sort of things. Whatever the case may be in the financial realm, If you'd like to be part of our program, you can contact us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. That will get you
on the
most
air.
Likely on the air, unless you're got a really bizarre question or you're a whack job.
Oh, is that right?
We've had a couple over the years.
We have.
Not very many.
Yeah, we had that one guy who was a stalker. He'd try to get on the air every week.
There's a woman. She had a low voice. You sure that's not the same person we're talking about?
It might be. It was a guy.
A thought it was a guy. I thought it was a woman all these years.
Oh,
I don't know what the stalker anyway. Was.
All right.
Not that that's important. We'll let the caller decide their sex anyway. So yes. We're not. And one of the things we want to talk about in the program besides taking calls, CalPERS, Public Employee Retirement System, the largest retirement system in the world, except I suppose you could say the unfunded federal government pension, but as far as a funded pension plan, they've changed their investment outlook.
They lowered what they assume their rates
and
of return.
So what we're going to talk about is if you think this might be important for CalPERS to do, what kind of signals does that send for your own portfolio? So CalPERS, and we'll talk a little more in the program, they're lowering their expectations as far as rates of returns going forward. Where we're saying it's probably prudent for most people
to lower their expectations.
To lower their expectations.
Not only
forward.
With their portfolios, but with their children, their relatives.
They're just going to disappoint you.
Just happiness. Just your
so like my father always says, kind of, if you have just no expectations,
then you're never disappointed.
It'll all work out.
That's your dad. We should have your dad on as a guest one day.
I had taken him on a trip for his 70th birthday. It was when the financial crisis was happening, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to think. Yeah, I would really wanted to be in the office, but it's my dad's 70th. Yeah. So we're on this trip. And, of course, I'm stressed out. And, son, relax. It's all going to work out. Maybe not the way you like, but it's going to work out. So just relax.
We should have
It'll work out.
Everything will be fine. I'm going to the beach. All right, let's go to the phones. 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. Let's talk to Brett. Brett, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Awesome.
What can we do for you?
Hey, just a quick question. I know you guys have gotten a little bit into pensions, and my situation is I'm with a private company, but it's like a utility. So it's kind of like a PG&E, and they have a pension system, but every time I've gone to the union meetings, all the shop stewards say, well, they're going to go after our pension. They're going to go after our pension. And after 5 years, you're considered vested. So if you're not like actually paying into a pension system and it's considered a benefit,
mm-hmm.
can they just pull it out from under you? Is that possible?
Well, kind of. So what they can do is they can change.
You are clearly vested for some benefit, really at age 65. It could be structured differently, but most pensions. To qualify for a full pension, there's other requirements besides
like
5 years.
Age and years of service, right? So what you are is you're vested, which means that they can't change anything. Well, they can't take anything away from you. You're vested in that. But they can change the formula going forward. They can get rid of it completely and say, hey, Brett, this is what you earned. You can take it as a lump sum and roll it into an IRA, or you can defer that pension, which is called a deferred vested pension, to some future date, be it 60, 65. Or they can say, we're going to lower your pension benefits at the rate you accumulate going forward. So public utilities, government, and utilities in general, be it electrical utility or old line, what they call the regional belt operating companies. At one point in time, they were the regional belt operating companies. Now, most of them are back under AT&T. They have kept those benefits for non-salaried employees pretty constant. It's kind of amazing that they've been able to do that. So the shop stewards, or you say the union officials, keep talking about it. There's precedent that would lead you to believe that it could happen because it's happened in a number of industries, not so much in yours. But there's the reality is they can't do much other than negotiate the negotiating table for it. You, as an individual, can vote yay or nay on the union leaders, but it comes down to their ability to negotiate for your pensions.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, and I want to, because the contract's up in about 4 or 5 years, and I'd like to be a shop steward so I could be there at the negotiating table and try to make something happen to where the guys who are already there can keep their pension, and maybe the new hires who come in maybe won't get it. I don't know.
We have seen that in government. Especially yes. In municipalities where there's
and another private company as well.
They call them two-tiered. So there's a tier for people that have hired by a certain date and a second tier for those people after hired by a certain date. But it is conceivable that they will change that. Absolutely.
Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 37, but I've only been working for the company for about 4 years.
As far as planning for your own retirement,
pretend it's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I do, and I contribute a lot to my 401k. And I mean, I don't own a house. I don't got no kids. I don't, you know, no wife. So I make, I can save. So I consider myself pretty lucky.
And if you become a shop steward, then you want to do some research on pension law and how it has affected other industries. So appreciate the call.
Absolutely. All right, thanks, guys. Have a nice
day. All right, wish
nice
you will. And it's, you know, the thing, the pensions are, I was talking to a woman who, their firm specializes in market research for the financial services industry, right? So they have focus groups. They'll do focus groups of various people to try to figure out what they're thinking about, whatever. She said they've got to the point where they, for retirees, they'll have two different focus groups, one for pensioners and one for those that do not have pension, because the pension envy is so great for those that worked for a company for 35 or 40 years that don't have a pension, that there's some animosity in the room and they find that the dialogue is not as good on the focus groups.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Particularly if someone's next to you and they've got a government pension, a big government pension, and and you don't have one. I mean, all power to people with pension. Part of our job as financial advisors is to help people maximize their pension. So
oh, absolutely.
We've helped a lot of state employees buy additional years of service when that was still available. We've helped people try to figure out their options at retirement.
I actually just helped a lady a few weeks ago that she had a deferred vested pension. She left the company. They came to her, and they offered her a lump sum.
And tried to figure out if that made sense or
and
not.
And for her, it actually made sense to keep it in the pension plan.
Oftentimes it does, particularly the older you are. But also, at retirement time, if you have a pension, you've got a lot of options.
Sometimes you have a joint survivor, a full joint survivor, you have a lump sum, or you can take a life-only pension. There's a lot of decisions
you
there.
Really want to make sure you talk to a firm that can help you to navigate what those options are. One of the things that we do with our clients, not a big pitch for myself, but look, it's an irrevocable decision. Oftentimes it's the largest financial decision you'll ever make. Which options do you take at retirement? And it really should be considered with everything else in your financial
including
world.
Including your health and your spouse's health.
Absolutely. It really should be. So, hey, we're back against the clock here a little over time. If you want to join the show, we've got some calls, lines available. 888-2-HANSON is the number to join us. Again, that's 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Back to Northern California's financial experts, Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us on this first weekend in December as the Christmas time season is coming around. Whatever that's supposed to mean.
What it means in America or what it means from...
I don't know. We're not going to talk about
there
that.
There we go. We'll just move on and we'll talk about financial stuff.
We'll talk about money
instead. We'll probably not offend anyone.
We'll talk about money rather than...
They might disagree with us,
but... The birth of the baby Jesus.
They might disagree with us about money, but they won't be offended.
By the way, who would really be offended?
If we talked about the birth of baby Jesus? I don't know.
You know, it's funny.
They might be offended because they tuned into a financial show.
My neighborhood, every year I put up Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, truth be told, I had my handyman put up Christmas lights.
Okay.
I did for years until one day I'm at the top of a two-story and I look down and I'm like,
it's probably not wise.
I'm going to get pretty badly hurt if I fall. Although I should worry about my handyman, I think about I should do it for my handyman.
Okay,
if I truly wanted to follow the Christmas spirit of service, I would do it for my handyman
and
to protect his life.
And pay him. Okay, so what you're saying.
I put up my lights, and I have this huge cross because my house is on a hill, and you can see this cross from a long way. And I keep waiting for the year when my neighborhood sends me a cease and desist letter saying that I shouldn't have a cross up. But I think it is Christmas.
Is the cross in your front yard?
It's in my backyard.
Oh, I've never seen it.
That's because I don't invite you over.
I could still drive by your house. You can't stop me from driving by your house.
I don't know if they allow your kind in my neighborhood, Pat.
I know. I tried to move in.
Anyway, interesting story. I don't know if it's an interesting story.
Well, I'll be the judge.
CalPERS, public employee.
Interesting story.
It's an interesting story.
Public employee retirement system, one of the largest pension plans in the world.
It is in the largest, almost $300 billion. And they have used a rate of return assumption of 7.75%. So they basically say, look, we're going to bank on earning almost 8% with our money.
And that's after fees, after their internal expenses.
That's right. But that's what we're going to bank on earning.
I think it is.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That's what we're going to bank on earning. And so they figure out how much money do municipalities and the state governments need to contribute.
So the pensions are funded.
So the pensions are funded.
Based on an actuary table and an assumed rate of return, which is how much money do I need in a certain period of time?
Now, the less rate of return, 7.5% is what they currently use. The lower the rate of return assumption that they use, the more money they need to collect from municipalities.
Yes,
think about your own situation. The less, if you think you can earn zero on your retirement savings,
you have to save every dollar that you're going to withdraw. If you thought you were going to earn 5%, you would save.
You need less money saved.
Less money. If you thought you were going to earn 10%, you'd even need less money.
And if you could earn 100% on your money every year, you'd need just 1 year's salary saved, and you'd be golden. Obviously, you're not going to earn 100%. So CalPERS says they're going to reduce the rate of return assumption down to 6.5%.
Over how many years, Mr. Hansen?
19 years. They're taking 19 years to get to that number.
That is some bold, that's a bold, bold move.
19 years.
We
know exactly how long they're kicking the can down the road. 19 years.
It's not going to hold up together for 19 years.
Of course it won't. We all know it won't.
And actually, Jerry Brown wanted a quicker. He wanted it to happen much sooner than that.
Yeah. I mean, he's a high tax guy, but he's also
He's a realist.
Yeah, he is, but he doesn't always get his way. But so when I read this article, it got me 19 years. So a lot of people aren't going to live 19 years in retirement. Many will, but if you're already retired, so the point is you need to make sure you've got realistic return assumptions in your investments. The market is not what it once was. Could it become that again? Perhaps. But when you're at a time when interest rates are essentially zero, when you're looking at a 10-year treasury bond paying roughly 2%.
And if you look at historical rates of returns for other asset classes, they normally will peg at least for a period of time off of the 10-year treasury.
So to assume that over the next decade you're going to have a really high return from fixed income from bonds, that's totally unrealistic. It's impossible, mathematically impossible.
And if you've got a diversified portfolio, you're going to have some bonds in there.
So even if the stock market does well, if real estate does well, even if you have some quote-unquote alternative investments in your portfolio, even if those do well, it is not the going forward, your rate of return is not going to be what it once
and
was.
And I certainly wouldn't use 6.5%.
If you got a long period of time and you're somewhat aggressive investor, 6% might be a realistic return.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're 35 years old and you're not 30 years before you're retiring, you could probably use a higher rate of return assumption because things will probably normalize over that period of time.
But so when they change
but
this,
the next decade may not. The next decade could certainly be a lower return decade because of where we are sitting with interest rates today.
So I did. So when they moved this interest rate from 7.5% to 5% over 19 years, I thought that is some bold moves. They're moving this number at 0.5%.
They're only going to do it after years that have had excess returns. It's not even a. It's not
really.
They're not doing it on a straight line. No.
Really.
Yeah, it's the up down investment performance. The pension's up down investment performance.
Anyway, if you'd like to join
That's
the show, 8882 Hanson. If you'd like to join the show, 8882 HANSON, or you can join us at moneymatters.com.
But get this: in the last five fiscal years, now their fiscal years ends mid year, they've averaged 2.4%.
Right.
So. If the last 5 years you're like, I wish my accounts had done a little more. A well-diversified portfolio, if you want to stack it up, how is another large well-diversified
portfolio? What? No, that was last year. It wasn't the last 5 years. That was just last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? 5 years?
Yeah, five years. No, that was last year.
Good years.
That was last year. Yeah. It was not the last 5 years. Yeah.
2013 was a good year for the markets.
Yes. That's what I was going to say.
Thank you for correcting me before I got inundated with calls and emails.
No, so
you're
last
an
year,
idiot.
Their fiscal year is not the same as calendar year.
All right,
let's talk to Ron. Ron, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about my daughter recently came to us and said, hey, Dad, what should I do with this? She works for the state. She's worked for them for approximately 4 years, and they presented her with a series of options. Apparently, the first 2 years are not does not go contributory to retirement or service time. And so she was offered one option of buying using the $5,000 that apparently the state put into those 2 years, and they would either pay it outright and just give it to her.
Oh, you're breaking up on us. So, but what you just said is, so she's been employed for 4 years, and 2 years they put it into a sinking fund, essentially, and didn't fund the pension. Is that what you said?
Correct.
Okay.
And apparently that applies to state workers, I gather, from what she's describing.
Okay.
And so ultimately, we advised her to take the 2 years of additional service time rather than certainly taking the cash.
That is correct.
Or rolling it over into a 401k. So
I would not.
No, I would
I guess
not.
I'm looking for validation.
Yes.
Was this a wise decision?
Yes. We
Buy the pension.
It's like a 7.5% guarantee.
Well, we just talked about it. Their assumed rate of return is 7.5%.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, right? With a guaranteed cost of living adjustment. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
So she buys pension credits today based on her age and her wage today. Now, by the time she ends up retiring, this is assuming she continues a career with the state. By the time she ends up retiring, odds are she's going to grow in her career, so she's going to be at higher paying jobs, and there's going to be inflation that's going to bump everything up. So it's like a screaming deal right
now. So, Dad, that was absolutely the right decision.
I appreciate that response because she was regretting the decision and felt that she should have probably rolled it over into the 401k.
Oh,
the
no.
So I appreciate the validation that the wise move was made. I think she'll feel better too.
Good. Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you, some of her friends have rolled 401ks into IRAs, right, when they leave a job, and that kind of is the thing to do. It's not the
and
same.
She might have a friend who made a killing on one particular stock,
but
they haven't had enough time in the markets to be whacked and have a loss too. So,
if I could take my own money today and buy a pension from the state of California, I would.
I would too. If I could do it with our clients' funds, we would.
If I could do it,
we could. And back in the day, we could buy 5 years of additional service. I can't tell you how many clients of Hanson McLean we advise them. Look, take your money out of the accounts here. Go buy additional service credit with the state of California.
Good call, Dad. Good call.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
All right, and have a great Christmas. Yeah. Can we still say that Merry Christmas?
I'm just proud of him that his daughter got a job.
That's the biggest thing. She's working. Is she out of the house? Oh my goodness, she's self-supported on her own. But you can't, for those rest of the listeners, you can't buy the additional service time. I'm not quite sure what had happened here.
Yeah, I didn't.
But I know it's a new two-tier plan, and so I know things have changed for new hirees. But if you are working for the state or municipality and they offer you a chance to buy additional credit,
To bridge military time, there's some stuff out there that, and if you took some time off and then you went back into the workforce and you took a lump sum before, you can buy back time, as you should.
Absolutely. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue with calls and have a good time here. 888-2-HANSON is the number. Hope to hear from you soon. We'll be right back. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it's retirement readiness or investment allocation, tax planning or IRA rollovers, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson,
Pat McLean.
On our website,
moneymatters.com.
Yes, moneymatters.com. We've got a ebook on the pre-retirees' 9 biggest worries. And this is kind of some of the things that the typical...
You wrote. Did you write this?
I helped write it, but Sean Harvey also finished writing it for me.
Well, that was so nice of him.
Yeah, I know. I came up with some of that stuff.
I shouldn't say...
I do write quite a bit of the...
The outlines, but the
articles and stuff.
I can't say it was 100% altruistic of Sean Harvey to write this, though.
You mean because he's part of the Hanson McLean team and receives a paycheck for doing so? I can't say it was all altruistic of me either.
Okay, then.
But I have an agenda as well for that matter.
Okay, so it's called the 9.
I like to think that I'm...
But it doesn't cost anything to download the 9 biggest worries.
It's free.
Yes.
The pre-retirees' 9 biggest worries.
And we call it an ebook.
Yeah, it's a cool thing you can...
The 9 biggest worries.
Yeah, so it's on our website.
This is based on your 25 years
of doing this stuff.
And we hear the worries.
We do.
So you go.
No, we do.
Yeah, you hear them. You hear them. It's real.
Absolutely it is.
It's a scary, scary time.
Going into retirement?
Yeah, it's a scary time. I had a client telling me that, I asked him, what was the hardest thing? And husband and wife, and they said, the day we realized we are no longer saving for retirement and I wasn't getting a paycheck, and all of a sudden, the thing that I had saved, I was now reliant upon forever.
Right. You know, you think about how interesting this is. So while you're working, number one, you're busy working. Number two, you've got time before you need the money. Number three, you're adding to it each month.
Yes.
So you're watching, you might be glancing at your 401k, but it's for some time out in the future.
You're not focusing.
And it's growing because you're adding to it. You go into retirement, number one, you've got time on your hands. You can check that thing several times a day if you'd like. Number two, the time is now. It's not sometime in the future. You're taking some income from it right now. And number three, you're withdrawing from it rather than contributing. So rather than having that some money going in each paycheck to help it grow, you are now taking money out of it. It's a tough transition.
It is. And one of the 9 biggest worries.
Yeah, it's not an easy. I was talking to someone, retired physician and highly acclaimed physician, specialist in what he did. And he told me just how scary it was that retirement step. When he said moving my life savings, my 401k, he was a client of the firm, worked with one of our advisors. He said moving my life savings, was my 401k, was one of the most difficult things I did. And he said, boy, did I need some handholding. I was so glad for the handholding that I got from my advisor at Hanson McLean. And it was a really interesting conversation to have with him because he was just kind of sharing his heart with me. And I think here's this gentleman that highly educated.
Yeah.
Now, just because you're educated in one field doesn't make you...
Doesn't make you educated in all fields.
Yes, but obviously he knew intellectually that he shouldn't be worried, but his emotions were still played a part, which is how we all operate. Our emotions do take part in who we are, and they certainly impact the decisions we make with our finances
on
a regular basis.
Forget the finances. Retiring in and of itself is a difficult concept. Giving up your life's career, think about this, giving up your life's career, a lot of your social circles, some respectability, your interactions, a place to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why Pat's actually 84 years old.
I can see it.
Still working at 84?
Yeah.
I can as well. I was at a conference a while back and ran into a gentleman. He was 70, mid-70s, and was just starting a new business. And I said...
What is he, Colonel Sanders or...
Yeah, that's exactly. It was Colonel Sanders.
He started like 7 businesses.
I guess because he had the white hair and all. I thought he was Santa at first, then I realized he was the
Colonel. So he's starting a new business.
He's starting a new business in financial services. Was starting a new business.
Huh?
And
day trader. Not a buy and hold guy.
He says there's no long term for me.
Actually, I know a gentleman that retired as a stockbroker when he was 92.
I had a friend whose stockbroker was like 94. Yeah. Family stockbroker was like 94.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Enough of that. Yeah, want to take some calls? Do you have some subject matter you wish to discuss?
I do.
The nine biggest worries.
We'll talk to Joe, and then we'll talk about the nine biggest worries. That's the ebook at moneymatters.com, by the way. We're talking with Joe. Joe, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Joe.
Nice to finally talk to you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Now, I've heard your show before, and most of your callers, they all sound like they've got their stuff together. I, however, I'll admit, say I do not.
That's all right, fine. Joe.
I got to tell you, one of the things we enjoy about doing this radio program, because sometimes financial advisors, we say, oh, all you guys want to do is talk to people with the big dollars. One of the things we enjoy about the radio program, it gives us an opportunity to talk to everybody. So people who are just starting out or people who made some mistakes in life that are kind of restarting. So you've got our undivided attention.
So tell us about yourself.
And that's me. I'm 45.
Okay.
I'm an electrician.
Okay.
And I am completely starting over. I mean, rock bottom starting over. I am part of the group that's the quiet group of the working homeless. So when I'm saying I'm starting over, I am. I make about 100 grand a year, and there's absolutely no reason for me to be in this position with bad decision-making.
Joe, you said working homeless.
Correct.
What is that?
Are you living in your car?
I am. I'm in my truck.
Okay.
And do you go and work on a job for a few weeks here and then across the state and work somewhere else and then you're in some other state for a period of time?
No. I actually stay in the Bay Area as far as work. I stay in the Bay Area. Work is pretty much an abundance in
yes.
the city.
Yes,
so there's no reason for me to go anywhere else. So the work is good. And so I'm making decent money. So I'm making over 100 grand a year, but I'm starting completely over from scratch, and I am in that group of the working homeless.
Got it. Okay,
trying to get out of it.
Joe, let me ask a few questions, right?
Absolutely.
Did a divorce lead here? A financial storm? Something that foreclosed home? Something like that?
No, I actually never owned a home. I wanted to, but I didn't want to own in California. So that was off the table right out the bat.
Okay. So, any children?
I do.
How many?
Two.
And are you supporting them?
A grand a month.
Okay. All right. So $24,000 or $12,000 a year? Is it a grand for each of them or a grand between the two?
Oh, a grand total. So,
okay. So $12,000
a year.
How much debt do you have?
The largest chunk is past child support, and that's $47,000.
Okay.
Everything else it pales in comparison to that.
What else is there?
Let's see.
Just around ballpark, $30,000.
Ballpark, not even that. I'd say about $15,000, if that.
Okay.
And how long have you been living out of your truck?
About a year.
And where'd you live previously?
I lived in Sacramento.
Oh, got it. So now you're living in San Francisco and you can't afford a place to live there.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I make enough to get a place out there, but what's holding me back is credit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the killer because the child support shows up, and because it's such a large figure, it jumps off the page.
Had you considered renting a room from somebody that's looking for a roommate?
I do not want that.
Okay. Well, that's where you need to start. I mean, so those are the choices. So
those really are the choices. And I know what that's like. When I moved to Northern California to start as a financial advisor, I literally had nothing. I rented a room from somebody because I had no money. I had nothing.
Yeah.
That was all I could afford.
Right, right. Well, I had done that once before many, many years ago, and something really bad happened, and I vowed never to do that again.
All right, well, so Joe, that, you can go get a cheap weekly apartment in And you understand what I'm talking
about?
But
that's worse than
renting a room.
Or stay in your truck until the child support's paid.
Yeah. And so what you need to
Or if you have a large enough, the challenge is in the Bay Area, it's so hard for rents right now.
Right.
So here's what you need to do is, so you've got debt of $62,000 approximately is what you.
And you can get through this, Joe. You're making a lot of money. You can get through this.
So what you need to do is actually set up a payment schedule where it is actually goes automatically out of your checking account to pay off that child support. So you need to set it up in a program where it's not you. And you want to probably set it up to the tune of, I would set it up to the tune of $2,500 a month that's going against the child support. Because that is not going to go away.
And
you know that it won't go away. If you don't pay it, there's legal, criminal. You know all that. So what you need to do is just sit down and say, I am going to do this. And you're 45 years of age, you're fine, buddy. You've got a skill. You make a lot of money relative to most. You've got some stuff in your past that you need to get through. Start paying $2,500 to $3,000 a month on that child support and get rid of that $15,000 in debt. And stay where you need to stay as long as you can stay there. We'd recommend looking at a room just because it's stable and it's inexpensive. Or if there's other traveling electricians that three or four of you guys go in to you see these guys, they travel in from outlying areas all the time to work in big cities, L.A., San Diego, and San Francisco.
I do. But what I'm such a private, and this is this actually takes a lot for me to even call, really.
Well, no one knows who you are, Joe.
Because I'm such a private person, I carry myself in such a way, no one knows my current situation.
God bless you.
I don't even look as if I live out of my truck. I don't smell like I live out of my truck.
They're around us. So, we know that.
It comes down to choices, though, for you, right?
So,
a financial standpoint, the income you've got and you can clearly get out of this, you just need to make some new choices in your life, some new choices so that you can get yourself in a position where – Well, one, you want to get back. You need to get your child support.
But he's 45 years of age. You've got 20 plus years of work in front of you. You can retire comfortably. You can get in a home within 5 to 7 years.
Yeah. The main thing is getting that child support paid off to the point where you can now are a decent credit risk and you can get it your own place. And you keep doing that. And that's clearly possible.
So appreciate the call.
Yeah. And, wish you all well on that. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a couple lines open. If you want to join us, still have time to take a call. 1-888-2-HANSEN is our number. Again, that's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSEN. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments, all on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Why don't we just take, before I go back to this call.
You want to take the calls? What do you want to do?
Of course I want to take the calls, but...
888-2-HANSEN, or you can go to moneymatters.com.
That's right. Although you can't call on moneymatters.com.
Correct. It's a domain name.
If you go to moneymatters.com, you're not going to actually get on the radio, just to let you know.
But there's a thing...
Full disclosure.
Listen, if you think you're going to get on the radio by going to our website, possibly you click on the thing and you could submit a question.
Yes, you can, and then our producer will contact you.
Yeah, but it's not like we're not... Anyway, but... 9 Biggest Worries, our ebook.
At moneymatters.com.
Yeah, not the 9 Biggest Worries in Life, the 9 Biggest Worries of Retirement.
The 9 Biggest Worries. Will anyone love me?
We narrowed it down.
Yeah.
Will they ever say I'm good enough?
A couple days ago, I saw a headline on a financial website. Headline. The headline was 10 Dividend Stocks for 2016. With yields of up to 15.6%.
No.
Yeah. 10 dividend stocks for 2016 with yields of up to 15.6%.
I can't imagine the risk in a stock that had a dividend of 15%.
So, right. So companies, their dividend does not necessarily have a correlation to their earnings.
Oftentimes,
as an example,
no correlation.
Some of the big oil companies this year are paying out more in their dividends than they have in earnings this year. Some have even increased their dividends in a year that their earnings are down.
And why would they do that, Scott?
To make it look like their stock's more attractive.
To prop the stock price.
A friend of mine who is, he's 81, and he was telling me how much he admires a particular oil company because of their dividend.
But at points in time, some companies will even borrow money to keep their dividend alive.
Yes.
Because if the dividend slips, oftentimes the stock price slips.
So when you have a
and it's actually, Scott, but for the oil companies, in their defense, it has been a rough time.
Yeah. I'm not saying they shouldn't have. I'm just saying that's just the reality of what's happened. But when a company's got a yield of 15.6%.
Run.
If they actually made, if they were making that much money, the stock price would be way higher. So the stock is in probably some free fall. Do not buy a stock based upon its dividend only.
And actually,
matter of fact, that's a low.
Yeah, on the scale of what you should be looking at as to whether an investment
there.
Is very, very down,
yes,
there.
Down there.
Because you'll see lots of these limited partnerships that promise big dividends. And it says right in their disclosure that they can use your principal to pay a dividend. But you feel really good about yourself.
You're actually eating into your principal. Let's talk to, let's go to the phones here. We're going to talk with Greg. Greg, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
How you doing, Greg?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
Thanks for joining us. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question, and I'm with the federal government. I have approximately 6 to 8 years left. I'm anticipating with working.
Okay.
I have a three-tiered retirement possibility at this time, which is Social Security, federal government retirement, my thrift savings program.
Okay.
Currently, and for a long period of time, I've contributed the maximum amount that the IRS will allow, and that includes receiving a 5% matching.
Okay, into the thrift savings plan, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, perfect.
So what I'm asking is, because I'm getting closer, anticipating 6 to 8 years left in employment, I have continuously, as long as things are going along fairly good, contributed and put my money into the high volatile area of the thrift savings plan, which follows the S&P 500 and the Dow.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's now, option. I think it's option. Is it option?
Whatever it is.
Okay.
CNF.
Yeah, okay.
What it is. Now what I'm looking at, and I'm comfortable with it, I know that the options or what my threshold, I guess, for loss and gains and the risk, with this little bit left and going to the end of my career, is this still continuing to be a good option, or how would you suggest?
Oh, got it.
So here's the
there's a couple things, right? The first thing is how much money is in that thrift savings plan?
Between 300 400.
Okay.
So it'll be a nice supplement to your pension and Social Security.
And have you figured out how much money that the Social Security, your government pension, and let's say a 4 or 5% distribution on this will be? Will that satisfy your income needs? You know?
It should be fairly solvent and make me okay.
Okay. So before we answer your question, I'm going to direct you to a webinar that I did on moneymatters.com called the 7 Personal Decision Points. It's the 7 and the first personal decision point is, how much money do I need to retire? The second is there debt I can get rid of when my expenses change in retirement?
To really help you figure out.
And that's number 1 and 2. And I'll go right to number 7, which is the 7 personal decision point is, number 1 was, how much money do I need? Number 7 answers the question, which is, what are the sources of income? Where are they coming from? And are those number 1 and number 7 going to match each other? So it takes about 15, 16 minutes. go to our website, moneymatters.com, watch the 7 personal decision points. Now, your question has to do with risk and risk tolerance.
Let me ask you this, Greg. If when you retire, are you planning on taking income from your thrift savings plan?
I'm actually anticipating taking a portion of it.
Okay. So,
and making, I haven't made decision though, even though the low percentage for financial handling is minimum with the federal government, or if I roll it over into a thrift savings program.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So here's, let's assume we all operated with no emotions and we're all purely intellectual all the time and we all had a long-term focus. One could certainly make the argument that you're fine having this being 100% in stocks because you've got the majority of your assets really are in fixed income, your pension and Social Security. So you already have a big chunk of your retirement income in guaranteed sources. So one could certainly make an argument and say, hey, if we look at this from a big picture standpoint, Greg already has a good chunk of his money in fixed income, this guaranteed retirement income. And this is a supplement, so therefore we can take additional risk. Now, the fact is we all operate as humans. And if we, let's assume that you're about to retire and we had another financial crisis and that the $300,000 or $400,000 you have saved in your thrift savings plan declines by 55%.
Would you postpone retirement?
Probably that would be something I would have to look at, very possible.
Okay, so what that tells us is that you should probably pull back a little bit. Let me ask one other question before we completely answer your question, which is, how much do you owe on your home?
Approximately $85,000.
And will be paid off by the time you retire?
I would hope so.
Okay. I would pay off that home by the time you retire. And I would make...
So if you've got the home paid off at retirement, you've got a pension, you've got Social Security, you've got three great things going for you, which says, I can take more risk in my 401k.
And in saying that...
Then maybe the person
I don't think I'd be 100% equities in the 401k.
I don't think I would either.
I'd probably be... In your situation... I don't know you that well. In our office, we actually bring you through a risk tolerance so we can kind of judge what your risk tolerance is. And then we have other tools.
You probably don't want any more than even 70%.
70% is probably enough. So I would pull it back to 70%. And then I'd re-amortize that mortgage over the next 6 years, which means I'd make payments on it so it's actually paid off.
Even if you had to slightly reduce what you're going into your 401k.
That is correct. That is correct. So I'd prepare for retirement in 6 years. If you go to our website, again, moneymatters.com, go through that 7 personal decision points, you'll understand it, and it will help you actually make that decision. But if you were in my office, I'd lower that risk probably to 70%, and I'd re-amortize that mortgage to have it paid off in 6 years.
Yeah, so I think it sounds like you're on the right track already, though, Greg. And we wish you the best of success going through this. And it sounds like you actually have some risk tolerance as well. But every situation is unique, and Pat, that's why that 7 personal decision point webinar on our website is helpful, again, at moneymatters.com. We are out of time, unfortunately. We are here every Saturday. You can listen to this program on this very radio station at this time, or you can get a podcast of this program. So you can go to moneymatters.com, sign up for our podcast. It'll be delivered to you each week. We also put out a weekly newsletter. Comes out while you're sleeping on a Saturday morning. Arrives in your inbox when you first wake up. What a way to start a weekend. Just go to moneymatters.com. You can sign up for that. It's been great being here with you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.